Sure. Okay, good work. We're beginning the seventh parak. Daf Nun Ches. Kol Zayis Sheyesh L'Hashem Vasoda. Anytime you have an olive tree that has a distinctive name, Afilu Kezayis Hanatufa B'Shaitai, starting on Nun Ches, even a Kezayis, which is, Natufa means it's dripping oil. B'Shaitai means, L'chaira, the pshat over here is that there was a time where it was dripping oil, even though maybe perhaps now it's no longer dripping oil, but since at one time it was dripping oil, so therefore it was once distinctive. So even though it may not be distinctive now, but since it once was distinctive, the point is that you'll remember the shchacha if you happen to forget it. And in shchacha, it's not shchacha because we assume you're going to remember it later. What is that true? That it's not doesn't have shikha, b'shmo b'maisu b'mekama. That's if it has, it's distinct either by its name, and it has the same name. It has a special name because it gave either so much or so little, we'll see in a second. Or maisav, also its productivity. Or b'mekama, or based on its placement relative to something else. B'shmo, now we're going to explain the three. B'shmo,
so therefore, once shikha, not always shikha.
What's that?
Once something is forgotten, it's not always forgotten. We can undo that. Because we can say...
How did you see that from what we just read?
Because you said that if it was something that you forgot, but it's something that's choshev, and then therefore it's like you never forgot it. Isn't that what this means?
Yeah, but it's never shikha. When I say shikha, I mean it has the din of shikha. It never had the din shikha. Even though you forgot it, even for that period of time, it didn't have shikha. Right? Yeah, what you said is true, but it has nothing to do with what we just said. Yeah. Bishmo, what's its name mean? Chayi shafkani yobai shani. So shafkani would mean, it means it's pouring out oil on its own. Oh, baishani would mean it's from blushing. Let's learn it simple that it's baishan. It's either it's embarrassed by its lack of productivity, or it's embarrassing the other trees by its super productivity. But whatever it is, those trees have feeling. Those trees have feeling. Okay.
It's noteworthy.
Yes, that's right. But myself, it produces a lot of oil, which sounds pretty much the same as what we just said, which can't be, right? Shafkani means it pours out oil, and then we're turning around and we're saying Maisav means it's making a lot of oil. It doesn't make sense. The Gemara is going to say, right, it's referring to pears. B'mkama, it's placed, shu'em, it's on a gas, it's by the side of a press, obitsan ha'pirtza, or by a break in the wall. So based on its relative position to that place, so that's why he'll always remember where it is. Important footnote 9, there's a note there from Moshe Feinstein that this is only true, let's say, if you have one or two trees by this break. But if you have a whole bunch of trees by the break in the wall, then it's no longer distinctive. And we're going to see in a second where Moshe got that kiddush. But basically, something is only distinctive if there's only one or two of them. If everybody's Eluyim, then nobody's an Eluy. Okay? All right. Ushar Kalazesim, what about other trees? So, you know, it's like the Mishnah is just starting off, you know, with...
How much did I miss those interpretations?
That's the way I think. That's the way I see it. Ushar Kalazesim, all the other olive trees. Shnayim Shechatuar Shechar Shleishayinu Shechar. This is like the famous sheet of Beis Hillel, right? Beis Hillel says two is shikha, three is not. Beis Shammai says three is shikha and four is not. But we're going, obviously, the Mishnah, Stam Mishnah is like Beis Hillel. Then you have Rabbi Yossi Aimer, ein shikha lezeisim, which the Gemara is going to qualify this. There's a reason why he says there's no shikha lezeisim. It's going to be machlokes in the Gemara what his reason is. And we're going to see there's an afkamina between those two reasons. Let's hold off for a moment. Amr of law. So now the Gemara says, how do you know the things that you're going to remember later are not shechach? Siv, it says in Pasuk, v'shochachto Omer basoni, you're going to forget the Omer. Omer shata shochol olam. That's Omer which you forget, you're going to forget forever. Yotzazeh, excluding this, has a distinctive nature to it. Shatzokolachazman, you're going to remember this, and therefore the forgetting wouldn't apply in that case. So that's like kind of like svara based on the pasuk. Okay, Rabbi Yumiya bite. Now Rabbi Yumiya is going to ask. He's going to not ask. He's going to make a couple of statements. I always make that mistake. When Rishami says boy, it means he wants to say the following statements. So this is, we're going to be talking about where in the mind of the owner, it has a certain distinctive quality. Even though for the onlooker, it looks like any other ordinary tree, but if it's something which is specific to the mind of the farmer, so let's see what he says. He says a couple of things. If it was distinctive in the owner's mind only, then it's as if it's distinctive in reality, and therefore it's not subject to shikha. So it's relative distinction is also distinct. Okay? Anything here at 16? Let's see. I don't think he doesn't really give you an example, does he? I don't know. I didn't think about what the exact example is. I didn't.
His first olive tree.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. My first olive tree. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Yeah. Or the olive tree that my grandfather left me in a will, or something like that.
Yeah.
Good. Hoy Oimen Bitzad Hadekel. Now we have a second ruling.
Who gives that example?
Who's that?
Shari Emuna.
Oh yeah.
Yerushalayim
Avoizel. Oh, about.
Or he had a nest.
Or a nest happened to. Yeah. Good. Or the Yerushalmi shear conducted the shear underneath that tree once, and that made it very distinctive. How you on the Bitzan Hadekel? If it was standing. Okay. Okay. All right.
Okay, Schleim's is back.
Let's not get carried away here.
Let's not get carried away.
Where were you? Over Pesach?
You went to the family compound.
Yeah. How you on the Bitzan Hadekel? If the olive tree was next to a date palm, right? So Hadekel Masaimo, the date palm gives it distinctiveness relative to that, right? Proximity to a tree of another type is enough to make it exempt. Okay, so yeah. It says over here that some say it's only when it's a date palm because it's fruit bearing. It's beautiful and it's tall, meaning, so in other words, the date palm is. So it, therefore, it's very distinct versus the olive tree, which is olive trees are pretty ugly, I think. They certainly are not big, tall, beautiful. That's not how I would describe an olive tree. So it's therefore, this olive tree next to this beautiful tree is distinctive. But if you don't have that set up, then it wouldn't be. It's not like if it's next to an apple tree, it would. It's not the same.
Getting carried away.
That's a footnote.
It says that inside is ugly?
No.
That's what I said, we're getting carried away.
Okay. I don't understand that. Have you ever seen an olive tree?
Yes. Harzesim.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. A third ruling. Hayushnehem netufa. If two olive trees were next to each other, and they were both had this quality of dripping oil. Let's say netufa means they drip oil before you even pick the olives off the tree, which would be extremely rare because olives are very hard on the tree and you have to soften them up in order to make them even fitting to be able to be pressed. But so these olive trees were netufos, and so zemasaimasev, each one will lend distinctiveness to the other one. Now, here you have to understand something. This is a very difficult halacha because this lahara doesn't make any sense because we said one of the distinctive qualities of an olive tree is the fact that it is a netufa. So if each olive tree was a netufa, why do they need each other? Mere fact that they are netufa, even if they would be by themselves, would be adequate enough to be considered distinct, right? So why are we saying that you have two of them next to each other, that they being next to each other makes it? That's the question. So that's 18. That's the question he asks. He calls it an obvious difficulty. So Marufolda says, this is where the person began harvesting the olives on these trees, and then before completing the task, right? Before he finished harvesting, right? He forgot. He moved on and forgot some. So the rule is, we're going to see in the next Mishnah, the rule is that the only time we say that if it's distinct, that what? That it's not considered chicha. That's only if the owner didn't start to do the harvest.
If you have two when he started, it's not chicha.
But if he starts to do it and then he moves on, forgets them behind, and there's two of them, then it's not chicha. So that's going to be the answer. But it's something you have to shtel up on. Okay. Hoysa kosadei onetufa. If all the trees in the field, again, this is exactly what we were talking about before. All of them. This is where I think Rav Moshe got his kiddush from. That it says it's a pefeirush of Gemara that if the whole field was made up of these super trees, right, a whole yeshiva of Iluyim, right? So that then no one's distinct. So if no one's distinct, so then the rule that won't apply, right? But that's a question the Gemara is asking, actually. What happens if the whole field is netufa? Would you say that if he harvested some of them and forgot one or two of them, that it would be considered shikha, or maybe not, right? So let's prove it from here. Rabbi Yossi Aimer.
This is where Rabbi Yossi says.
Yeah, I'm not sure. He said something here in the English. Let me just see something over here. Yeah, right. Yes, never mind. Rabbi Yossi Aimer, Rabbi Yossi says, "Ein shekel hazeisim." So we said in our Mishnah, right? The end of the Mishnah said that Rabbi Yossi holds says, no shekel for what? For olive trees. So I'm Rabbi Shimon bar Yochum. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochum said, what's the reason for that? Why does Rabbi Yossi hold there's no shekel for olive trees? Like Amar Rabbi Yossi Elabari Shaino. In the time of was it Hadrian? Is that his name? Yeah, Hadrian. So at the time of Bar Kokhba's revolt, so Hadrian went ahead and destroyed all the olive trees. In the beginning, I'm not sure what that is by beginning. I guess it could be. I'm not sure.
After Bar Kokhba.
Just trying to see if anybody stells up on the word Barishona.
Yeah, he says after the Bar Kokhba, he says that he came and he destroyed everything.
So Rabbi Yossi was saying there's a shortage of olive trees. Okay, it's Pasha. It's a Pasha as far. The fact that there's a shortage of olive trees means every single olive tree is precious. If every olive tree is precious, there's no shikha because everyone is distinct. That's basically all he was saying. So again, what's the question? Keep your eye on the ball here, right? We're trying to prove the question of whether kol shadehu netufa, if his whole field is distinct, and it has this distinct quality of they all dripping, is it trying to have shikha on that field? So now we're going to try to prove it from Rabbi Yossi. What did Rabbi Yossi say? Rabbi Yossi says it's no shikha for olives. It's like they're all netufa. Now, so what does that prove? So there's two ways to learn the Gemara. Either the Gemara is going to try to prove it from the Tanakhama, that the Tanakhama
was
cholik on Rabbi Yossi, and he held, no, even though it's special, but they're all special. So we're going to say that that's goof for the whole svara of the Tanakhama. They're all special, and since they're all special, none of them are special. And therefore, if you have shikha,
then
there is shikha. So we're going to prove it from the Tanakhama's position. That's one way to learn the Gemara. Another way to learn the Gemara is the proof is from Rabbi Yossi himself, right? Let me just read it again inside. It's the second column on the footnote on the bottom of page 58A3. It says, alternatively, the proof is not from Tanakhama, from Rabbi Yossi. Why? Because just as ordinary trees are distinctive when they're scarce, and they're ordinary when they're common, right? In other words, you see from Rabbi Yossi a way to look at something, right? He's saying, the olive trees after he destroyed all the other olive trees, they're all special. But are they special olive trees per se? No, they're regular, ordinary olive trees. There's just very few of them. So just like an ordinary olive tree, right, is special when it is scarce. So an ordinary, let me read it inside. Just as ordinary trees are distinctive when they're scarce and ordinary when they're common, so too special trees, such as those that drip oil, right? If they're rare, if they're distinctive, then they'll stand out. But if it's a whole field, but if it's a whole field of them, then they're just like.
So in this case, Rabbi Yossi exactly.
So Rabbi Yossi, just like Rabbi Yossi's moedib is man hazeh, that we're back to normal, and there is shekha, so too would be with this field of the tufas, right? So. Either way, the answer is the same, regardless of how you're learning it. Whether you're learning from Rabbi Yossi, whether you're learning from Tanakama, it comes out the maskana is what at this point that the netuf, that if you have a field of netufas and you had shicha on a couple of them, there is shicha. Okay, and I think that's where Rav Moshe got his chiddush. They quoted from Shem Rav Moshe Feinstein by if you have it next to the broken. The hole in the fence, that if there are many next to the fence, then it's not going to help you because then it loses its distinction. He got it from the Gemara. I think so. Okay, now we're on Chesam Beis. Shafkuni. So it says, Notev Shemen. Shafkuni means the tree drips. The oil drips from the olives while they're still on the tree. So the Gemara asks, Hasnina Netufa. It says Netufa already, and that's what we thought that we thought that's what Netufa meant. So how is Shafkuni different? Okay, the Gemara changes it. Ella, she osa shemen habi. It means it when you squeeze it out. In other words, go to the next stage in the oil making process. When you squeeze it in the olive press, so there's a lot of output. So the Gemara says Hasnina b'maisa shuwaisa habi. But that's the next case. That in a way it's distinct is in the way it's deeds, which is it produces a lot. So what's going on? Ella, the Gemara says like this: Shafkuni ho osa shemen harbe. Shafkuni taka means it makes a lot of oil. Netufa means noitif shemen, it means it drips oil while it's on the tree. Maisov shu osa harbe. What does that mean? Shu osa zesim harbe. Like you said, it makes a lot of olives. We have a volume of olives coming off this tree, which is a larger amount than normal. Okay. So those are the three distinctive ways, right? I'd put it like this. So if I compare it to learning, so it would be, Bikias, a guy has a lot of Bikias, he knows a lot of Dafim. So he's Maisav, right? He has a lot of Dafim. If he's, he's a big Baal Ma'ayin, he's Baal Chadesh, so then he's the Tufa. He's like, he's dripping Chidush Kedushay Torah, right? And what's the other one? The other one is Shafkuni. He makes Shemen Harbe. I'm not sure what he is. He's like in between the two. Okay, Baishani. What's a Baishan? The Gemara says, Is to by the way, Baishani Mamish. Some say it means Mamish. Means it's which he says means from Lashon of Bish. That's bad. It's dried out. Because the fruit is dry, it doesn't make that much oil, so that's memorable. Is to by the way, to whom Mavis Lachavre, that it embarrasses its fellow trees by making more oil than it does, so that makes it memorable. Okay, either way. The main thing here is it doesn't really matter, what the Gemara's point here is, as long as it's distinctive. So the Gemara now is going to ask a very interesting question. This first question is, Adi Yaved Arba'ah Kiflisin? When we say that it's distinctive, does it mean it has to make four times more than an ordinary olive tree? Now, where'd they get the four times from? Now, this came from the...
Last parak, we had a sheaf that was like four times.
Very good. Excellent. And that's exactly right. That was the shita, that was the case. The case was you had one sheaf, two sheaf, three sheaf.
The tufa.
And then the fourth sheaf, there's a tufa. And the fourth sheaf was very, very large. So we had a machlokes meshama and basil. Was it fourth sheaf or the third sheaf? I forget. One second. The third? Was it third?
I think so.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm just trying to see whether it's over here. Yeah. Anyway, so Beis Shammai said, like, right, the Beis Shammai said the following. Remember, Beis Shammai Shita is that it takes four times the amount to make it ois shikha, right? So therefore, Beis Shammai viewed a sheaf which had four sheaves in it. He looked at that one sheaf as if it was divided into four different sheaves, right? And therefore, it was not shikha. It doesn't matter how many other sheaves, it doesn't make a difference. The main thing we're focusing on is that sheaf that has the four. Is it shayach shikha by that large sheaf? Beis Shammai says no.
Because it was equivalent to dropping four individual stalks.
That's correct. We looked at it as if it's divided. Right, yesh, like yesh breira. And Beis Hillel doesn't agree because he doesn't say roin. The svar of roin, that we look at it as if it's divided up. Beis Hillel doesn't hold from that altogether. Okay, so the Gemara was wondering, using Beis Shammai's reasoning, so if they're the same, so maybe the reason why the extra productive tree is not shikha is because it's like that, it's the same kind of svar as like Beis Shammai. And what makes it something that I'm going to remember? That it's making four times more than an ordinary tree. In other words, if you forget, right, according to Beis Shammai, according to Beis Shammai, you forget three trees, it's shikha. If you get four trees, it's not shikha. So if you had one tree that produced four times the amount, so it's like you had four trees. So it's a little funny because the Gemara is using Beis Shammai kind of like to ask this question. The four really only makes sense according to Beis Shammai. I don't see it in Beis Hillel, but whatever. They're crossing over from Beis Shammai to Beis Hillel in this question. I'm not sure how they did it. Anyway, so okay, let's look at it inside. Adiyavid Arba Osh Kifson, is it like he making four times as much? Can he just need them to come on? Like we said before, Kol Umrei Sona Shal Kav Kav, all the other sheaves of the field are the size of a kav. Ve'echot Shal Arbas Kavin, and one is four times the size of the normal size sheaf. Ushkoch, and he forgot it. So, and then you have to end off, you know, it doesn't say the rest of it, so you have to end off. And Beis Shammai says it's not shikha, right? So the Gemara says, no, this is the answer. Once it's making more than its fellow tree, that already gives it a distinctive quality. Okay, so it doesn't need to be making four times as much. All it has to do is exceed its a normal tree. Okay, that's the first question. All right. Adi Yavid Kol Shana V'Shana. Next question is, does it have to make every year? Or is it enough? Just, you know, some years. So the Gemara says, I'm giving you a Ruban Kol Shana K'mishu Mesuyim. As long as most years, good enough. You don't have to be, you know.
For every year, it would be excluded.
Every year will be excluded. Once most years, it is overproductive. Yes. Gemara says, if it's next to a break in the wall, the Gemara wants to say, that the Mishnah is coming back to Beis Shammai, because why? Beis Shammai says, Hefker Aniyim Hefker. That's just a quote at the beginning of the Mishnah that we're trying to quote. The commission then continues that if there's a sheaf that's next to a wall, or next to a pile of grain, or some farming tools, whatever, Beis Shammai says, it's not shikha, because it's next to something that you'll remember. Beis Hillel says, no, it is shikha, right? So, in our Mishnah, we're saying that if you have a tree that's next to a wall, that it's distinctive. That seems to be Beis Shammai Shita. That would be very odd. The Gemara is asking really a question. Is our Mishnah coming out like Beis Shammai? That's a very strange thing. Beis Shammai is the one that said in that machlokas earlier by the sheaves, that if it was next to something, that it was shikha. But Beis Hillel disagreed with that. So what's going on in our Mishnah? Okay? Make sense, the question? Yeah? On Rabbi Yossi, so Rabbi Yossi says, this Mishnah is coming out like everybody. Why? There's a distinction. In other words, we're going to distinguish between Beis Hillel. Why Beis Hillel before by the sheaf holds that it is not shikha. That it is shikha. And by the tree, it is not shikha. What's the difference? Tamon over there by the sheaf, davar tolosh mitzad davar mechubar. You had a sheaf which is tolosh, detached from the ground, and it's sitting next to a wall, which is something which is mechubar. That's where Beis Hillel holds it is still considered. You could still consider it shikha. Ram Hocha, but over here in our Mishnah, where we're talking about olive tree, an olive tree, of course, is davar mechubar. It's not davar mechubar. It's next to a wall. And a tree is mechubar, and the wall is mechubar. So there they would
want to.
You'll remember, apparently. I was trying to think about what the svara behind such a thing is. Does that make sense to you? Is the fact that it is of a permanence make it more likely more likely I'll remember it.
Blow off the wall. I'm saying, wind comes and blows it off the wall. Somebody comes and moves it. It makes sense. It's davar kavua.
Davar kavua, that's more likely for me to remember.
Yeah, I'm saying, okay. You're not going to forget that tree next to the big gap in the wall. But,
right.
But a bundle that's sitting
on the
wall.
But a bundle happens to be sitting next to a wall, I'm more likely to forget. That seems to be the svar. Yeah. Okay.
It's like a kafut and not kafut also. It has a thing. If it's not permanent, it could move.
Right.
Say, there's no
right.
Permanency to it.
Right. Rabbi Yossi Aymer. So now we said again. Now we're going to come back. We just said one svar Rabbi Yossi before from Rabbi Shimon. What was his name?
Ben Yakim.
Shimon Yakim. So we said the svar was that Rabbi Yossi said his din only in a time, in Bari Shaina in the old days. But now it doesn't apply. Now we're going to say another svar in Rabbi Yossi, okay? In Shikol Zaysim. I'm Rabbi Shimon Yochim. So first we're going to... First we're going to...
It wasn't between two sets of two dots. It was like part of a conversation.
Here we're going to the source. So we have Rabbi Shimon Yochim saying, Lehem Rabbi Yossi El Bishan Shohim Azetim Mutsuin. Shabbat Drenin Yisra Rosh V'Hekhar Eskol Aretz Al Asher Shazetim Mutsuin Yesh Lam Shekha. That we said. Now we have another way to understand Rabbi Yossi. I'm Rabbi Yossi. Lechi Yev Adam Shekha Lazesim El Rabbi Kiva. This Rabbi Yossi is not the Rabbi Yossi of the Mishnah. This Rabbi Yossi is the Rabbi Yossi of the Amora. Okay, that's why it might be a little confusing. Rabbi Yossi, the Amora, is not going to quote Rabbi Kiva explaining Rabbi Yossi's Shita in the Mishnah. Okay? Lechayev Adam Shecha Lezesim Ella Rabbi Kiva. That olive trees would only be Chayev in Shecha if you held like Rabbi Kiva. Why? Because Rabbi Kiva darshans the words acharecha, acharecha. He makes it zera shava. It says by zesim, if you look on the bottom of the bottom right of your Hebrew, it says kisach by zescha loisafair acharecha. Like Yerul Yosef Amar Li, yeah. So it says by zesim, not to go back acharecha.
What's the sefar?
The pashat is it's, you're going back.
How's the shores of that going back? Air is glory, no?
It says here, do not remove its glory behind you. So the glory, okay, the translation here is, when you beat your olive tree, you shall not remove its glory behind you. So the glory of a tree is its fruit, okay?
Right.
So you're not going to go back and remove
the glory
of the fruit when you forgot it. That seems to be the shot, okay? So that's...
Yeah.
It's poetic, yeah, I guess. So acharecha, so that's one acharecha. Another place it says acharecha is kisiv tzor karmacho, osa olal acharecha, like Yerul Yosef Amar Li. It says over there by vineyard, also the word acharecha. Okay?
So now, this is a different thing than shikacha, this pasuk is saying? Or this is in the realm of shikacha?
So which
is giving you a specific
which pasuk are you talking about?
It's Torah.
No, I'm
the
asking
fire.
Which pasuk.
The fire.
The Zayas. So we're going to see now. So Rabbi Kiva is going to learn that it says Acharecha by Zayas. It's not clear. So Rabbi Kiva has to learn what the pasuk by Zayas is talking about by deriving a Gzera Shava. The Gzera Shava, he's going to learn Acharecha, which is going to teach me that it's talking about shikha. But if you don't darshan that gzeira shava, the alternative way to learn that pasuk is it's talking about peah. That there's a din peah by zayas. So, well, let's just focus on Mekiva's drasha. So Mekiva darshan zacharecha acharecha. Okay. Yeah, I mean, in the footnote, he explains this drasha. It's a little convoluted here because oilolois is a type of leket, as we said before. But we knew oilolois already from another pasuk, so therefore it's an imeino inyan type of a thing. Imeino inyan for oilolois because we know it already, so therefore we apply that pasuk for shikha. So we know the pasuk by Geffen is talking about shikha, and we're going to learn acharecha to Zayas, acharecha, acharecha, a gzeira shava to teach me that this is also shikha. Now the question is, of course, how if acharecha is enough to mean shikha, why do I need to go after the acharecha over there? Why don't you just use the acharecha of the pasuk itself? What are you gaining by the acharecha? So I think that's what, maybe they explain this. Does he explain it over here? Yeah, he says, this gives rise to a difficulty. As we've demonstrated, the verse behind you with regard to olive trees too. Why then must shikha be derived by means of a gzeira shava from grapevines? Why don't you derive it directly from this phrase? So he explains, olive trees, the phrase behind you, is in the verse that includes trees in the law of peah. Behind you informs us that peah must be left over at the end of the tree harvest. Because it's needed to this teaching, it's not available to teach shikha. So, but the acharecha by the grapevines is extra. So basically, it's like this. So let's just say it clearly now that we've read it right. So you have a pasuk by Lo Sefar Acharecha, which is peah, pashup shot, and then there's a pasuk of Oilolois by Geffen, which is extra acharecha, because we knew it already, so it was extra. So since it's extra, we can do an acharecha gzeira shava to teach me that it's also going to be talking about shikha in the pasuk of Lo Sefar Acharecha by the Zayas.
That's basically that it's not peah.
It's also peah. It's peah. There's a pashup shot.
But Zayasim fits the five criteria.
What five criteria?
From you mean Eichel?
From what?
Mishnah Yubet. Ochel.
Oh, the Ochel, yeah. Yes, yes. It certainly does. It certainly does.
You don't need a pasuk. So you don't need a pasuk at all.
I don't know if that's true what you're saying.
Why?
I think you need a special limo to tell me that eitzim are also included, not just wheat. You need psukim for that. Yeah, you can't.
So all the different species. I'm saying not
all species. You're talking about grain versus trees.
All the trees.
So trees, right? Now you're asking another question. You want to know whether only olive trees are included or not? Okay, that was a footnote. I actually didn't tell it to you at the very beginning of the parak.
This parak?
Yeah. It's actually footnote 1. In 58a1, there's a footnote that says the following. There is some question among the Rishonim to which trees are subject to shikha. On the one hand, the verses that teach this obligation are with regard to grapevines and by extension or derivation to olive trees, which implies only these species are included in the mitzvah. However, some Rishonim maintain it includes other species as well. So it seems that it seems to be a question whether it's a din d'oraisa other trees or not. So we'll just leave it at that. It's machlokes rishonim. Okay. I don't know all the details about that. That was something I skipped over. I failed to mention. I'm sorry about that. Yep. Okay, let's get back to what we're talking about. So me'ata ein shikha lezeisim k'Rav Yosi. So according to Rav Yosi, there's no shikha for an olive tree at any time, meaning not just Barishona, not like Rav Shimon said, right? Rav Shimon said it was only Barishona that he said there's no shikha. No, he's explaining, this Rav Yosi, the Amora, is explaining Rav Yosi, the Tana, that it's because he doesn't hold from this gzeira shava of acharecha, acharecha, in which case you have no source of teaching me that there's shikha by Zayas, and therefore there's never shayach shikha by Zayas, even as one as that. Oh, I'm sorry. We're on Nun Tesa and Aleph. Hold on a second. Good point. Let me make a recording of that.